All right, go ahead and take your Bibles this evening. Open up to 1 Timothy, book of 1 Timothy. And last Sunday night, we just kind of started, just kind of gave an introduction to this new series that we'll be going through. Did I say 1 Timothy? I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, but we're starting a series on developing a biblical worldview, and I asked this question last week about who do we think is doing a better job evangelizing our kids, the world or the church? And I think the overwhelming answer is the world. They're doing a much better job at reaching our kids, and of course, there's many ways that the world is trying to do that. We were talking about this last week. They do it through social media. They do it through Hollywood. They do it through entertainment, the people that we follow, even sports figures, just all kinds of different things, even through the education system, through school and things. They're trying to indoctrinate young people, and again, It's important because as we develop a biblical worldview, it helps us to see things the way God wants them to be seen, right? Again, when we understand you have a secular worldview or you have a biblical worldview, right? They're not going to be the same. You look at the secular worldview of who Jesus is, right? And, well, Jesus may have been a man. He may not have even existed. But if he did exist, he was just a good man, and, you know, that's it. Well, that's definitely not what the Bible says about who Jesus is, right? You look at this whole thing that we've been going through in our country about gender identity and things. You know, that you look at a secular worldview and a biblical worldview, right? The Bible's very clear. There's simply two genders. There's male and female, right? That's it. But yet, you have people trying to say, no, there could be over 70 genders, right? The biblical worldview and a secular worldview are never going to align, right? And the thing is, we shouldn't be surprised that the secular worldview is not biblical. That shouldn't ever surprise us, right? When they come out and say that, you know, dogs are now part of the human race, you know, that shouldn't surprise us. By the way, that's not something they've said. I'm showing how far they can go, right? If they can say that we came from apes, I'm sure they're going to try to bring something else in here, okay? But that just shows you how far the secular worldview can go, right? Marriage, right? Bible says marriage is between one man and one woman. It's not what the secular worldview says, right? So again, these things are so, so important. And the world is going to put pressure on anyone who calls themselves a Christian. Anyone that has a different view than what they do, they're going to look at, they're going to mock, they're going to ridicule, they're not going to accept, right? And if we, and of course even our children, are not firmly grounded and have confidence knowing what we believe and why we believe it, can I say the world is just going to sift us like salt, right? I mean, they're just going to have their way, right? And I think when we look at what's happening in our society, we see that taking place, right? Why is our country in the state that it's in today? Because Christians have not taken a stand for what they believe, or they don't really know what they believe. They're just allowing the world just to kind of say whatever they want. We're like, well, as long as you just let me keep going to work, and as long as you let me go ahead and do what I want to do, then we'll just go ahead and let the world do that. And we're not taking a stand. We're not pushing back against a secular worldview, right? And the thing that we have to recognize is that a biblical worldview, and we said this last week, it must begin with the Bible. It doesn't begin with our opinion. It doesn't begin with a denomination. It doesn't begin with a church. It doesn't begin with what my family thinks or whatever. No, a biblical worldview begins with the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What does God's word say? And then it has to focus on the Bible, right? We keep the focus on the word of God. We keep the focus on the Bible, and then we apply the Bible to our life, right? Again, that's why it's so important. When we look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, right? So he says, the word of God has been given by God, and it's profitable for these things. It's profitable for what we believe. It's profitable for reproof, to show us what's wrong. It's profitable for correction, to show us where we go wrong, right? When we're wrong, the word of God is there to convict us, right? The Holy Spirit works through that. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, right? To help us to know what to do and how to stay right, okay? It's profitable for these things. We have to apply these truths to our life if we're going to truly follow, if we truly say we believe the Bible, then we have to be willing to follow what the Bible says, right? We really have to apply these things to our life. And that's why it says in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God's desire is that we grow spiritually. The only way we can grow spiritually to be mature Christians is through his word, right? And as we grow spiritually, then he gives us everything that we need to accomplish his purpose and his will in our lives. And so as we're just kind of getting it, laying a foundation for this, tonight I wanted to give some reasons, and we probably won't even get through all the different reasons just tonight, because like what we did last week, I want us to really go through this. And obviously, maybe, you know, I'll probably put some preaching into this as well, but some teaching, and I want some interaction, because I think this is something that we really have to really stop and really think about, not just listen to a message and leave and say, okay, you know, all right, that was another message, but to really think about how valuable and how important this is. That not only we as adults make sure that we have a biblical worldview, but we help our children as they're growing up in our homes or in our churches to develop a biblical worldview. So what are some reasons that every family and every church needs to help children develop a biblical worldview? What are some reasons for that, right? Let's look first of all. Number one, we need to help them develop a biblical worldview to provide wisdom for their life. To provide wisdom for life, right? Again, where should we go to answers as parents to our children? How many of you know that children like to ask questions? Right? You know, sometimes the questions are not spiritual questions, okay? They're just not, right? You know, you can get all kinds of questions, right? But when they start asking certain questions and specific questions, you know, we need to know where we're going to go to answer these questions, right? When we have decisions to make in our life, where do we go for wisdom? Where do we go when there are decisions that we have to make in our life, right? And when our children know that we have decisions to make, where do they see us go for wisdom? Right? Where do they see us going? Do they see us just going to our friends? Do they see us just going to relatives? Or do they see us going to God? Do they see us going to the Word of God and finding out what the answers are and trying to get that wisdom that God wants us to have? Because we would all say, no doubt, the answer to those two questions, we would all say is the Bible, right? We would all say that the Bible has all the answers for life and all of life's questions. But do we really believe that that statement is true? Do we really believe that statement? If we would say, yes, we believe the Bible has the answers to all of life's problems and life's questions. But do we really believe that statement? Do we believe that it's accurate, that it's true, right? Because if we do believe it, then why don't we go to it? If we believe the Bible truly has all of the answers then why don't we go to the Bible? Why is the Bible not the first thing that we go to? Why is it that we'll go to the news channels and we'll go to resource, we'll go to YouTube, we'll go to Google, we'll go to all these other places, and it's like the last place that we go to is the Bible, right? But yet we say we believe that the Bible has all the answers, right? Like, can I tell you this? I appreciate Google, and there's many times that I've used Google, but I tell you something, Google doesn't have all the right answers. It thinks it has all the answers, but it doesn't have all the right answers, right? You might have some really great people to give counsel, and I think it's important that you have wise, godly people to get counsel from, but can I tell you that? Can I tell you something? They don't have all the right answers. There's only one place that we can find all the right answers, and that's in the Word of God. And it seems like as Christians, that's the like the last place that we end up going to, right? If we truly believe it, why don't we go to it? Why don't we teach our children to go to it? Why don't we teach our children when they ask questions? Why don't we teach them, hey, let's go back to the Bible. Let's look at what God says, right? Let's look at what the Bible says about these things. Now, again, I understand there's sometimes we can just say, well, listen, this is the answer. Why? Just because, right? But it's so important that we teach our children that they can go to the Word of God and they can find the answers in the Word of God as well, right? Again, I mentioned this last week. Barna did a series or a research, and they said that by the age of 13 years of age, that a person's worldview has been established in their life. At 13 years of age, right? And that means that we have to be helping these young people before, you know, they're 13, when they're still, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, even younger, older, whatever, to understand how important the Bible is in their life. And that they should go to the Bible just like mom and dad go to the Bible, just like grandma and grandpa go to the Bible. Anyone ever heard this phrase, sola scriptura? Anybody ever heard that before? A couple of you have. Anybody know what it means? What does it mean? Yeah, Scripture alone, right? The word, the phrase sola scriptura, it's Latin. It just means Scripture alone, right? And really, if we think about it, that is the foundation for the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture, right? Scripture alone, the Bible alone. And by the way, can I say, this is what sets us apart from many other religions, right? This is what sets us apart. We believe this book right here. That's it. Right? We don't have any other books that we go to. There's no other denomination books. There's no other books. We believe the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and what we believe and practice how we live our life, right? That's what we say we believe, right? Again, we don't have extra books. We don't have extra revelation and other things. No, we hold to the Bible and the Bible alone, right? You look at many other religions, they say, oh, we believe the Bible, but we also have this book over here, right? And what you begin to find out is when you compare the Bible to that book, when the Bible contradicts, guess which book they hold higher? It's not the Bible, right? It's some other book that man has written, okay? And so this idea of sola scriptura, or the Word of God alone, Scripture alone, is it should be the foundation for every Christian's life. The Bible should be the book that we go to for wisdom for our life. And this is why Paul says this to Timothy here. Think about what he said back up in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known what? The holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, right? And again, this idea, Paul says, you've known the scriptures from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, right? And again, this is why this is not just for parents. This is even for grandparents as well, because the two people that had such an impact in Timothy's life in teaching him Scripture and the Word of God were his mother and his grandmother, right? Those were the two people that had such an influence and impact in Timothy's life, teaching him the Word of God at such a young age. But think about what Paul is saying. He says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then think about that last thing we just read in verse 17, right? truly furnished unto all good works, right? So he's saying, Timothy, the word of God should be in your life from a child all the way through, right? All the way through. Now, it's great. I love it when the kids get up here and quote verses, right? They get up here and quote different verses, and it's amazing how many verses they memorize, and many of them will quote two or three verses. Some overachievers like to quote a whole chapter, you know? I mean, that would have never been me as a young person. I would have been like some of you that are like, I know what verse I'm going to say. See, you're exactly like me, right? Jesus wept, right? That's it. That's the verse I'm going to quote, right? I'm an underachiever, right? But it's great that the young people come up and say verses. But look, he says that from a child that has no Holy Scripture, but it's supposed to be all the way through our life, right? Why is it that we have this idea? Well, you know, Sunday school and Bible verses and Bible stories and memorizing Scripture, that's good for kids. It's good for the teenagers. The teenagers need that. But it's like once we reach adulthood, that all just stops. Once we reach being an adult, it's like, okay, now I don't need the Bible anymore. Now I know it all, right? I don't need God anymore, right? Oh, yeah, that was important when I was a kid, but now that I'm an adult, hey, I get to go out on my own, and I'm going to make my own way. And now that I'm an adult, and now that I'm doing things my way, I don't need to memorize Scripture. I don't need to study the Word of God. I don't need to go to Sunday school. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to do these things. Can I tell you something? We've missed it. Because this is what Paul was telling Timothy, from a child until all the way through to be able to know what God has for us so we can accomplish what he has for our life, all the way through it needs to be based on the Word of God. All of it must be based on the Word of God. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And this is what he says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. So think about this. He says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but these things are only found through who? Through Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That means if I'm truly going to know the things that I need to know in life, God says he's given me everything that I need for life, right? If the things that I truly need to know in life, God says, I've given to you, but they only come through knowing Jesus Christ more and more. That means I need to be in the Word of God more. That means I need to be drawing closer to God more. That means we need to be teaching our children, hey, it's not just for Sunday school that you need to memorize verses, but hey, even as an adult, it's important to still memorize verses. It's not just important to know the Bible as a child, but even as an adult, I need to know the Word of God. I need to know what the Bible teaches. Why? Because I need wisdom from God to make right choices in this life. Because the world is not going to want you to make right choices. They don't, okay? That's why, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that now that your evil is now good and your good is now evil. You understand? That's the society we live in. Right? We're trying to do what is right. We're trying to do something good, and the world thinks that that's evil. And the world thinks the evil that they're doing is what is actually good. And they're trying to get everybody else to go along with their evil. They're trying to get everybody, including Christians, right? Again, that's why their focusing on trying to teach young people at such a young age. And so the Bible contains everything we need to know God. It contains what we need to grow in Christ's likeness and to obey his commandments, right? To know what he says. So let me ask you a question, right? And again, I want us to think about some of these things. And again, I'm gonna ask more for adults in this than kids and teenagers and stuff, because I know kids and teenagers can have lots of answers. But I'm going to kind of save this more for some adults, at least this question anyway. Can somebody give me an example of when... And I know, believe me, I know when I ask questions like this, I'm setting myself up big time, all right? Because I never know what's going to come, okay? And so, you know, if you choose to answer, please just, you know, we don't have to have every detail, right? Maybe just kind of make it short if you have an answer. But would anybody be willing to give an example of when the Bible provided guidance for a life choice that you needed to make? Would anybody be willing to give an example for that? Of when the Bible provided the answers for a life choice that you needed to make in your life? Yes, Ms. Brenda. Okay. All right. So, you know, she's talking about the verse that says, be not unequally yoked, right? As a Christian, we shouldn't be marrying like unbelievers, right? It's important for a Christian not to marry an unbeliever. Why? Because we're not equally yoked in that situation, okay? All right. Somebody else, give me an example of when the Bible provided guidance for a life choice that you needed to make. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Ah, not being a slave to the limber, not going into debt and everything, right? Because definitely the world wants you to go into debt, right? I mean, you get all types of, you know, hey, you're pre-approved for all kinds of things, right? But what happens? You do that and you become a debt to the lender, right? Yeah, Shane? Okay, type of music that you were not going to listen to, right? Okay, all right, anybody else? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. How about speaking the truth, right? The Bible says lying lips are an abomination, right? We ought to tell the truth, speak the truth. Man, at work, shouldn't people know that the Christian that is at work should be the most honest and truthful person that's there? Not the one always trying to get by and trying to get away with things, right? They should be the most honest person, right? So again, when we think about this, the Bible does provide guidance for the life choices that we need to make, right? But here's what's sad is so many times we know the Bible provides the wisdom that we need, but we don't go to the Bible. Or here's what we do. If we know what the Bible says, we just don't do it anyway. Right? I would suggest that several of those things that were already mentioned were not new to anybody here tonight. But the question is, all right, if we know the Bible says that, do we apply it? Do we do it, right? Do even our children see us applying these things, all right? So the first reason, we need the Word of God to provide biblical wisdom for life. Secondly, to develop the foundation for lifelong faith in Jesus, right? To develop a foundation for a lifelong faith in Jesus. There is a pattern that I believe you can see that takes place in the lives of many people, and I would say especially Christians, right? The first step is biblical illiteracy. Biblical illiteracy. In other words, we do not know what the Bible teaches, even among those raised in Christian homes, right? We don't know what the Bible teaches. There's a biblical illiteracy. We don't know what the Bible teaches, which leads to biblical confusion. Because we don't know what the Bible teaches, now we don't know why they should believe the Bible instead of other views. Why shouldn't I follow the secular view? Why shouldn't I follow the world's view, right? Because when there is a biblical illiteracy, when I don't know what the Bible teaches, then there I am going to question, well, why shouldn't I follow these other views? Why shouldn't I listen to what these other people say? Which then leads to biblical immaturity. Biblical immaturity. Because now when they encounter different belief systems, and they will, you will, your children will, they will encounter other belief systems, whether by their peers, whether it's school or in college. And here's what happens. They do not know how to defend their faith. They do not know how to explain basic truths about the Bible. And because they cannot explain their faith, they cannot explain basic truth, they cannot defend their faith, guess what happens? Then they leave the faith. If I can't defend it, if I don't know why, then why am I following it? It's interesting how many people that you can talk to that where they they were taken. I like taken better, but they were taken to church, right? Many times all their lives. And yet what happens is because they were not taught the Word of God. Oh, they were taught some Bible stories. Don't get me wrong. They were taught some Bible stories. They were taught, you know, about the crucifixion, and they were taught about, you know, the resurrection. They were taught some Bible stories. They knew about David and Goliath. They knew about Daniel and lions. And but here's the thing. That's all they were. They were just stories. It's just stories, right? And sometimes we look at the Bible stories and we just think they're stories. They're not really real accounts, right? No, they are real, right? And so we teach them just a few stories, but we don't really teach them the Bible, right? Even as they get into their teenage years, right, they may know a few Bible stories, but we haven't really sat down and taught them the Bible. So there is a biblical illiteracy which leads to a biblical confusion, because now, why shouldn't I believe some of these other views? And then when they're really pressed on it, and when they get away from home, they get away from their church or away from family and things, and they're really pressed on it by their peers, and they can't defend their faith, and they can't really explain what the Bible says, it causes them to fail. It causes them to crumble. And they end up leaving the faith, because there was no biblical literacy. They weren't taught the Bible. Not that they couldn't read it, but they weren't taught it. And this is why Paul tells Timothy to continue in the things that he had been taught as a child. That's why he says in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them," right? So Paul is saying to Timothy, you continue in those things, right? Again, look at this important pattern that Paul shows us. God is concerned with what children learn. Did you notice that? Continue in the things that thou hast learned. What were they? They were biblical truth. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So God is concerned with what children learn. He's concerned with who teaches them. You go back to the beginning there, he says that your mother, Lois and Eunice, your mother and your grandmother, taught you the Word of God. They made an impact in Timothy's life in teaching him the Word of God. Now again, think about it. They didn't even have the whole New Testament at this point, right? They don't have the whole New Testament, and yet they still found it important to teach their children the Word of God. And this mother and this grandmother, again, we don't know the whole life situation that's going on here, but it doesn't seem like it was just a very, it seems like it was kind of a little bit of a broken home spiritually and things, right? But yet here a mother and a grandmother are teaching this young man the Word of God. So God is concerned with what children learn, who teaches them, and how they learn. He said, from a child. From a child. They didn't wait till he became a teenager. They didn't wait till he became a grown man. It was from a child they started teaching him this, right? Think about this. 1 Peter 5:15 and 16 tells us to be ready to give an answer. It tells us you have to be ready to give an answer, right? Here's what's sad. Many times I'm afraid that if somebody came up to you and said, "Could you show me how to be saved?" I think many Christians couldn't even show somebody how to be saved. Let alone other things about the Bible, but the most important thing that a Christian ought to be able to share with someone and show from the Word of God is how a person can be saved. And yet, many Christians would have no idea where to go to show somebody how to be saved. Look, that's on us. That's saying, oh, we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible has the answers, right? The Bible has the answers for salvation. Show me. Well, I think it's in the New Testament. Well, what book of the New Testament? One of the Gospels? One of the Gospels, maybe? And we can't even give a defense an explanation of salvation, how somebody can be saved. Now, tell me something. If we can't give a defense, if we can't, as Paul or Peter tells us, that we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks of us the reason of the hope that we have. If we can't give an answer and show them from the Word of God how somebody can be saved. Look, I'm not saying you have to have the whole New Testament memorized. But if we can't go to the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible says you need to do in order to be saved. This is what salvation is. Do we really believe that the Bible has all of life's answers then? If we're talking about the most important decision that a person can make, and we can't take them to the Word of God and show them how to be saved? Why? You say, well, that's the pastor's job. No, it's not the pastor's job. Now, I'm thankful that I've been able to lead many people to the Lord. I'm thankful there's many here tonight that I've led to the Lord, right? But it's not just my job. It's every person who calls himself a Christian. And this is what Peter says. It's not just for certain people. He says everybody needs to be ready. You think about what he says in Jude chapter 1. There is no chapter. It's just Jude. In Jude 3 and 4, he says we are to earnestly contend for the faith. You understand what that means? That earnestly contending for the faith, it means we need to be ready to defend it. We need to be ready. It's kind of like that idea of you've got, you know, I'm not saying fight like physically, but you've got these two boxers in a ring, right? They're contending for the title, right? He says we've got to be able to contend for the faith. And yet most Christians don't even know what the faith is. How are we going to contend for the faith, right? How are we going to develop a foundation for lifelong faith in Jesus if we don't know what the Bible teaches? You say, well, that's why I come to church. I come to church so you can tell me what the Bible teaches. That's not why you ought to come to church. That's not why you ought to come to church. Yeah, I'm going to preach the Word of God, but can I tell you something? You can take this book home, not mine, yours. Leave mine alone, right? You can take this book home and you can study it yourself. You can read it. You can get into it. You can study it. Do you understand? You have the same Holy Spirit that I have. The same Holy Spirit that helps me as I read and I study is the same Holy Spirit that's going to help you. I don't have any more of the Holy Spirit than you do. You got the same amount that I do. You know why? We just don't want to. We don't want to take the time to really study. We don't want to take the time to find out what the Bible teaches us, right? Because when we do, we find that the Bible truly does have the answers for life. I want to go to the third thing real quick. The third reason is to help shape character and conduct. Would we not say that in our society, young people need help with their character and conduct? I mean, you can't go to the news channel and not see that, right? But when we have a biblical worldview, it's going to help to shape our character and conduct by the truth of the Word of God, right? As we're building on that foundation, right? Has anybody ever heard the phrase, faith is better caught than taught? Anybody ever heard that? Faith is better caught than taught. Is that biblical or unbiblical? Think about it. Faith is better caught than taught. Is that biblical or unbiblical? Everybody's like, I don't know if I should answer this. Think about it. Faith is better caught than taught. Biblical or unbiblical? I've heard unbiblical and I've heard biblical. Isn't that interesting? It's actually both. You say, how can it be both? How can it be biblical and unbiblical at the same time, right? Well, both are actually important. Paul said to follow me as I follow Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 speaks of those spiritual leaders they had. And this is what it said, remember them which have the rule over you and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, right? So that following, right, catching it, right? As you follow, you're able to catch it, right? Seems kind of important. That's true. But can I say, if that's all we're doing, if all we're trying to do is catch that faith, or we're trying to pass it on just by having somebody follow us, that's not all that should be done, right? It's not just about catching it, but it's also about teaching it as well. Again, how did Timothy know the Holy Scriptures? Was it just that he saw it in the life of his mother and grandmother? No, it said that they taught him. They taught him these scriptures, right? They taught him the Word of God. Okay? And again, this may be a little hard to hear tonight, but we're talking about why it's important to develop a biblical worldview. But when is the last time that you sat down with your children and actually went through and taught them the Word of God? Not letting the Sunday school teachers do it, not letting pastor do it, not letting the super church or master club teachers. When is the last time you sat down with your children and went through verses of Scripture and actually taught them the Word of God? Well, that, you know, they'll see it in my lifestyle. Great. Wonderful. I'm glad they'll see it in your lifestyle. That's important. They need to see it in your lifestyle, but they need you to teach it to them as well. You need to teach them the Word of God. Sit down. You say, well, I've never gone to a Bible college. I don't know all there is to know about the Bible. Look, you have the same Holy Spirit that I have, but you don't have to go to a Bible college to know how to teach the Word of God. All you have to do is sit down and read some verses and think about it. All right, what do you think this means? I mean, I just have my Bible open here to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Can I tell you something? You don't have to go to a commentary to know what that means. You probably don't even have to get a dictionary out to know what any of those words mean. But what you do have to do is take a little bit of time and sit down, think through it. What is this meaning? What is this saying? And then be able to say, hey, kids, let's get together. We're going to read a verse together, and I want you to think about what this verse means. What do you think this verse means? We're not willing to do that. We relegate it to the Sunday school teachers or the pastor or the super church or master club or whatever, and that's not what we're supposed to do. The Bible puts a high value on teaching the Word of God to help future generations to know Christ and to follow Him. I want you to listen to some verses here before we end tonight. Think about what He says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 9. He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. What did He say? He said, you need to make sure that you are teaching your children the things of God. And, did you notice the next part? And your son's sons. You understand what that is? That's grandparents. Right? You're teaching your children and your grandchildren. Sometimes grandparents think, well, hey, I raised my kids, and now, you know, it's their responsibility to teach their children. You know, my grandkids, I hope they teach them right. Yes, it is. But grandparents, you haven't lost a responsibility in teaching your grandchildren either. God gave you a responsibility. You are to help in that, right? Some of you as grandparents, you might have grandchildren that don't have. Maybe they're not being taught the things. Hey, guess what? You've got a great opportunity to help your grandchildren to learn the things of God. Who's going to do it if you don't? He says, your children, your sons and your sons' sons. Deuteronomy 6:7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. He says, you ought to be talking about the things of God to your children all the time. All the time you ought to be talking to your kids about the things of God. When you're out going about your daily business, when you're at home, when you wake up, I mean, you ought to be talking about the things of God. Look, we can talk about all kinds of things. We can talk about sports. We can talk about movies. We can talk about music. But how much time do we spend talking about the things of God? The Word of God, teaching them to our children, to our grandchildren. How about Psalm 77 or 78, 5 and 6? For he establisheth a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, the grandparents, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Look at how many generations he's talking about there. He said, our fathers told them so that they could teach the next generation and to teach us and then to teach the children that are going to come. He said, this is something that needs to be passed on. Not just in an example, and there should be living an example, but there needs to be the teaching of the Word of God. Parents and grandparents need to be teaching their children. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. Look, moms and dads, we've got to be teaching our children. We've got to get in the Word of God, and we've got to know the Word of God so that we can help our children know the Word of God. Think about this. If you are not taking time to know the Word of God, how are your children going to know the Word of God? How are they going to know the Word of God if you're not taking time to teach them? I don't know if you know this, but it seems like every generation does a little bit less. It's not like they do more, they do less, right? And if I'm not in the Word of God, and if I'm not teaching them the Word of God, then that means they're going to be even doing less than what I'm doing. They're going to do less than what I'm doing. I remember my old pastor where I went to college, he said, if you take all of the things that you learn and all the standards and all the Bible and everything, he said, the next generation will probably do about 75% of that. 75%. And if then that next generation does 75% of that, and the next generation does 75%, guess what? In just a couple generations, you're down to zero from what you were doing. And we have that, and we have this idea, well, they'll pick it up in time. No, they don't have time. You've got to do it now. You can't wait. Look, we're waiting and we're losing. We're losing because we're waiting. Parents and grandparents, Christian grandparents and parents, have a responsibility to use the Word of God to shape who a child becomes and how they are to live. What things can be taught? What things need to be taught to make wise choices in life? When's the last time you taught your children about their friends and what the Bible says about friendship? Who their friends ought to be? Whether they're at school, whether, you know, look, I'm going to get really in trouble here. Just because somebody comes to church doesn't necessarily mean that that person needs to be your kid's friend. You say, Pastor, who are you pointing out? Nobody. I'm not pointing out anybody. But I'm saying, it's your responsibility as parents to make sure who your friends are and to teach them who their friends ought to be, right? What about money? It's your responsibility as parents to teach them about money and how to handle money financially, to tithe and give to God and do all these different things. Why do we wait until, well, when you're an adult, we'll figure those things out, right? Marriage, work ethic, all of these things are things that the Bible teaches and that it's our responsibility as Christians to teach our children, right? I want you to just think about this. Don't answer it out loud. I know our time's going up really fast here. But can you think back in your life, what impact, whether good or bad, did your parents or grandparents have on your spiritual development? Think back in your life, personally. What impact did your parents and grandparents have on your spiritual development? Good or bad? Maybe you had grandparents that maybe weren't saved. I had grandparents, I don't know that they were saved. Honestly, I don't know that they had much of a spiritual impact on my life. Now, I'm thankful that I had Christian parents. My parents were the ones that really had the spiritual development and impact in my life, but I didn't have Christian grandparents that loved the Lord and loved the Word of God and wanted us to follow Jesus. I didn't have grandparents like that. What impact in your life did maybe your grandparents, maybe you had grandparents that loved the Lord and they helped and they focused and you can see, man, I can see all the things that my grandparents did and how they helped me and they developed me spiritually. You understand why that's so important now? Or if you didn't, again, why that's so important now? Parents, maybe say, well, I didn't have parents that taught me the Word of God, and I didn't grow up in church, and my parents didn't take me to Sunday school and in church, and my parents didn't teach me the Bible. Then do you understand why it's so important that you do that for your children now? If you have parents that did teach you the Word of God, then you see how vital that is that you teach your children the Word of God and help them to grow in their faith, right? Again, we're working to try to help develop a biblical worldview, right? That means that everything has to come through this. We see everything through the light of Scripture. We see everything through what God says. We take what society says, what everybody else says, we say, all right, how does God view that? What does God view it on, right? Again, it could be money, it could be marriage, it could be work ethic, it could be all these different things. And we funnel it and we look at it through what God says. And then we take what God says and we teach our children, this is what the Bible says, this is what God wants for your life. So that they can have that firm foundation in the Word of God. Because again, look, they are going to be tested. The world is going to push them, the world is going to try to tear them apart, the world's going to laugh at them and mock them. And if they don't have a solid foundation in the Word of God, can I tell you, it's not going to be good. I'm not going to say they're going to walk away from the faith, but I'm going to say it could very easily lead to that. If we don't take the time to really teach them the Word of God, right? And again, I know as parents and grandparents, this is something that we've got to grasp. We've got to get a hold of these truths. Our children, our grandchildren, they depend upon us in this. Right? We're like, well, I'm just going to let, as they get older, I'm going to let them decide. Really? That's what you want to do? You're just going to let them decide? Right? That's like saying now in our society that a five-year-old can decide if they're a boy or a girl. We would say that's not right. Right? I hope we would say that. A five-year-old does not get to decide whether they're a boy or a girl. Either God made him a boy or God made him a girl, period. Right? So why would we say, well, I'm just going to let my children, when they get old, I'm going to let them decide. You understand? You're setting them up for failure. You're setting them up for the world to just sift them and take them away. Because we're not giving them the foundation that they need. Right? Don't just be like, well, I'm just going to let them decide when they get older. No. You teach them the Word of God. You give them a good foundation. You help them to grow in their faith and walk with Jesus Christ so that when the world does come and try to diffuse all of that and persuade them to follow the secular worldview, hey, they've got a biblical foundation to stand on so that they can do what God wants for them in their life. This is so, so important, right? I can't even get through all the points that I've got, so we're going to have to stop there tonight. But just, look, can I tell you, sometime this week, right, parents, grandparents, sometime this week, take the Word of God, open it up with your children, sit down with them and say, let's go through the Bible together. Let's go through the Bible together. You say, well, I've got teenagers, they're past that point. Are you still in charge of your home? Tell them, this is what we're going to do. Sit down with them. They may balk at it right away or something, but sit down with them and say, we're just going to start going through the Bible together. If you can do it every day, do it every day. Sometimes maybe work schedules don't work out that way, but find some time to sit down with them, go through the Word of God. You know what that means, though? You've got to go through it first so you know what it means. So when you sit down together, you can teach it to them. That takes time, right? I'm challenging you. Do that. Sit down with your family. Go through the Word of God together. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your Word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see how vital this is. Lord, the world wants nothing more than to destroy the church, to destroy Christians, Lord, their homes, and the world is after the young people. And God, I pray you'd help us to realize how vital this is as Christian parents and grandparents, and Lord, even those that may not have children, to see how important it is that to help to teach the children of this church the Word of God, to live the Word of God, to be that example, not just having our faith to be caught. Yes, that should be too, but also having it taught as well. And Lord, help us to take our responsibility as Christians, parents, grandparents, and Lord, teaching young people the Word of God. Lord, I know there are many times we have young people that come to this church that may not have Christian homes. And Lord, help our teachers to realize how important it is to take the time to teach these young people the Word of God so that we can have a little bit of an impact in their life. In that short period, maybe that we have them here at church, to be able to invest in them and to help develop a good foundation in God's Word in their life. Lord, help our young people to know that they can go to the Word of God and they can find the answers to all of life's questions and all of life's problems in your Word. Lord, that you can give us wisdom in these things. And so, Father, I pray you to help us to look to you and, Lord, to teach our children and our young people that they can have that walk with you to help establish that good foundation in their life, that as they get older and one day go out into the world and, Lord, whatever job or career path, whatever you lead them into, Lord, that their faith would be unshakable. Lord, that foundation that they have been established on, just like Timothy, from a child, they've known the Holy Scriptures, which have been able to make them wise into salvation, and as they've grown, to accomplish your work in their life. So, Father, would you help us with these things? Lord, we thank you, and we love you. Give us a great week this week, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.